you know, if you look at the elite wide receivers in the NFL, where does Brandon Ayuk fall? Is he top 10? Is he a top 10 receiver right now?
I don't think so.
Well, Torrey Smith, when we talked to him last week, he believed that that Ayuk is.
The generic receiver probably is built more like me, like in that 6'1", 6'2", type area, flirting around 200 or, you know, give or take around there. I mean, you think of the top guys in the game, just rambling off the top of my head, Davante Adams, give Ayuk his respect, right?
Yep.
Put him up there in that top 10, yep. Right? Give him his respect. Like, those guys are more so in that 6'1", 6'2" range. But I think the difference you're seeing is receivers are going to be better and better every year.
Yeah.
Right, better than our goats.
Yeah,
right. And old heads hate when I say that.
Yeah,
but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. It's because you're watching kids now that played 7-on-7. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Our goats were better from playing outside.
Right.
They weren't being. Everyone knows a trainer these days. Mm-hmm. Right. These kids are different. And I'm only going by because I coach in the youth space. I have my own 7-on-7 team, and I'm like.
I like what Torrey Smith said there, because he not only talked about Ayuk, put him in that top 10 category, but he also talks about how wide receivers are continuing to get better.
Yes.
That's the conundrum for the Niners.
Right.
Right? Do you pay these guys? And that's why, and we talked to a lot of wide receivers while we were out there, and the question of, do you pay these guys or do you feel like you could find somebody similar?
Yeah.
That's ultimately going to be the question. Brandon Ayuk, I think he's a fringe top 10 receiver. Right? Do you think he is that good that he is a technician when he runs routes? But do you think he is that good that you have to pay him? Or could you find, especially in an offense that is not wide receiver heavy?
Right.
Right?
Only that's, three targets, right?
That's why Ayuk is upset and wants to be, or it appears that he wants to be moved, because this offense isn't set up for a guy like him.
Yep.
It's more set up for Debo. It's more set up for Christian McCaffrey. So with that being said, you're going to pay him and not utilize him? That seems like bad business.
Sure does.
Or if you're Kyle Shanahan, and because you're such an offensive guru, an offensive genius, is it time for your offense to slightly evolve?
Yeah.
And move, if Brock can really fling that thing, like you talking to right. people about it, if he can spin it like the way you say he can spin it,
you could be the one to keep, right?
Then let him spin it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's an incredibly interesting conversation, and I can see both sides of it. I hate to be a fence sitter, right? But I really do.
Yeah.
What Ayuk does is Ayuk a top 10 receiver talent? I think you can argue yes. Is he being used like a top 10 receiver talent for this offense and on this team? No, he's not.
I just don't think he's top 10. I really don't.
Well, let's go through it.
Let's do it. I have a list
I've got the list on deck.
I've got it in front of me. Now, granted, this is from November, but this is NFL on Fox made this list. And
let's hear the list.
It's up to 14 people, and Ayuk is not included in one of those 14. Should we start at top or at the bottom?
Start at the top.
Glad you said that, because it's my guy, Justin Jefferson, number one on this list. I promise I did not write this list.
Sure.
Number two, Tyreek Hill. I think pick your poison or pick your favorite flavor of ice cream.
Yes.
I think those are the top two receivers. Davante Adams, number three. Mm-hmm. They have a tie at number four, which we talked about this with the MVP last week. How could there be a tie? Just pick one in a ranking.
Who cares?
Sorry. Jamar Chase tied with Stephon Diggs at number four.
I see no arguments.
I'm Jamar Chase.
I'm definitely.
Oh, you're saying. Oh, sorry. I was just saying no arguments when it comes to Ayuk.
But between the two of them,
are you sure you're not being marred by Stephon Diggs' personality?
I'm not. I'm really not.
Jamar Chase has some things to say too.
I literally think Jamar Chase is the best receiver in the NFL.
Okay.
And that's no disrespect to Justin Jefferson
or Tyreek.
But that's just what I think he's amazing.
Yeah. No, he is. He's incredible.
If you ever get bored, sometimes I find myself looking at hype videos from that LSU team. That was insane.
It was broken.
Insane.
That was insane. And honestly, that goes back to the conversation we had about Jalen Hurts. And I know both of you guessed Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has had ridiculous weapons at every level.
Yep.
All right, I don't know. I am very intrigued to
game
see
manager.
What happens. No, I just want to see what happens to Joe Burrow.
No one has ever called him a game
manager. And I love Joe Burr. I love Joe. I love Joe Icy. Joe Shiesty. I do.
Can I get that one more time?
Joe Brr.
Yeah, okay.
You know? It's cold out.
Randy Arroz.
All right. Sorry to interrupt the list.
Moving on.
Number six is a guy we were just kind of talking about, A.J. Brown. Number seven, a guy who's kind of been forgotten these past couple years, Cooper Kupp.
This is where it starts to get dicey.
No. Cooper Kupp is better than
Cooper
Brandon
Kupp
Ayuk.
Is better than Brandon Ayuk. CeeDee Lamb going. Is number eight.
CeeDee's too low.
So here, Debo's number nine.
Who are you putting CeeDee above?
I'm putting CeeDee above.
You can't just say he's too low and not.
I mean, is A.J. Brown really better than CeeDee? Is A.J. Brown? I mean,
Cooper, I like A.J. Brown.
Cooper Kupp, it just depends on your cup of tea, no pun intended.
He's the best route runner in the NFL.
I would say Cooper Kupp's better than both of them.
I think people are sleeping on CeeDee.
I really like
Cooper Kupp. They didn't even have a number two wide receiver.
That's a good point. I would say he is a number two receiver, but he did. He went crazy this year. So that's also, I mean, he might even be higher up that list. What, he had like 5 straight weeks of 10 catches for 100
saying.
Yards and a touchdown?
But he had MVP Dak thrown to him. So
keep going.
Number nine is Debo. There we go. Thank you.
This is where I get.
But this is where it gets interesting here. Here's a new challenger has entered the ring. Amon-Ra St. Brown at number 10.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely.
I like Amon-Ra. Now, this is where we get to the honorable mentions. There's 4 honorable mentions. You got Terry McLaurin. I think there's a conversation there.
Sure.
But I think Terry McLaurin's better.
He needs a quarterback.
Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans.
Still doing it.
Yeah. Jalen Waddle, that's maybe that's the highest number two receiver that we've had on this list.
Brandon Ayuk is better than Jalen Waddle.
I agree with that.
So then here's the conversation then. Is Brandon Ayuk the best number two receiver in the NFL? Is that that's then what you're saying?
But yes. Is he a number two? Offense is so whack that the Niners run.
Or wide receivers.
I don't know where to put anyone. It's almost positionless basketball.
Besides Ayuk, that's why he doesn't get the rock as much.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
I'm not.
Number 14 is DK.
There's some good receivers in the NFL.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way. And there's more coming in. Yeah.
I think
Marvin Harrison's going to be on that list next year.
Debo at nine is kind of.
Debo at nine
high.
Is crazy
that's
to me.
High.
Especially in November. Like, he wasn't cooking or anything. Like, it was Ayuk's season, especially for the first half.
November is, like, November's Debo weather.
Absolutely. That's when it starts.
If somebody was, and I know it's not fair because of age, but if somebody, regardless of what they're getting paid, was looking for a wide receiver right now and they could choose between Debo and Ayuk, who are they choosing?
Debo, I think. No. I think you're going Debo.
No.
I disagree, Chris. I think it's Ayuk.
That's fine. You can go ahead. Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
I mean, most coaches would know how to use Debo properly.
I think you use Debo. This is why a couple years ago there was something came out about Debo going to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Debo is a Band-Aid. Debo is a Band-Aid if you don't trust your QB or if you don't have a good line.
I think Debo
is used best.
I feel like Brandon Ayuk is just, and I mean this in the most respectful way possible, he's just like a little unspectacular for me. Like, he's a really good receiver. But if we're talking about like what sets you apart from other people, I just haven't really seen anything special out of Brandon Ayuk. And Debo at least brings you something that's unique and you can utilize. And I mean, I think of like Percy Harvin. Like, was Percy Harvin the best receiver? No, but as a football player, as a weapon to have on your offense, I just think that that's almost way more valuable than bringing out a really solid, good receiver.
But this
that's
is
where I'm falling.
The helmet catch off the face, Chris.
The helmet catch
that
off the face.
That doesn't count?
But
it sure doesn't.
But this is why Ayuk wants to get moved.
Yeah,
that
so he
take,
can show it.
Your
absolutely.
Take right there is exactly why he
for
wants
sure.
to get moved. Because
absolutely.
He feels – now, again – every wide receiver feels like they could
absolutely.
Be in this category. What was it? Mapletron? What was his name? Didn't Chase Claypool say he was a top 5 receiver a year ago, something like that?
Gabe Davis posted some stats today where he's acting like he's a top 10
Gabe
receiver.
Gabe Davis. Have
today.
You no shame? Gabe, you were on my fantasy team, and I don't talk
that's
about
that.
That's
the
craziest Gabe.
Part about it.
Gabe, have some integrity, brother.
I'll pull up what Gabe Davis posted on his Instagram today.
I don't even want
to
see
that.
That
fool ran the wrong route to win the game.
Shout out Gabe Dave.
And then at that point, the Bills, they were throwing to dudes I'd never heard before. If it wasn't Diggs, I'm thinking, oh, great, that's probably Gabe. Yeah. Wasn't Gabe.
My first thought when I saw all of these Gabe Davis numbers was, man, Juwan Jennings would be sick for the Buffalo Bills. So Gabe Davis posted this on his Instagram today. Just everything, first in the NFL, first down rate, first in the NFL in touchdown rate, first in the NFL in average depth of target, first in the NFL in per reception, explosive rates, total touchdowns. Total touchdowns. He's 10th in the NFL in the span. He's acting like he's the best receiver. So to your point, every receiver thinks that they're top 10.
So you don't even think, is there anybody on that list you were taking Ayuk over?
I don't think so. No.
I would also like
Waddle.
I mean, like, if anything, like, it's a push. Like, it's the offense, style. Man. You could make the same argument for Jalen Waddle. Like, what's Waddle looking like if he doesn't have Tyreek Hill, who does a lot of the same things he does over there? Like, could Waddle be a different version of Tyreek Hill? He already kind of is.
Well, Waddle can't stay on the field.
Yeah, for sure.
Waddle can't stay on the field.
For sure.
Juwan Jennings is a free agent this year, too.
Yeah, he's gone.
According
to some Niners people, they're keeping Juwan too.
No, they're going to. Kendrick Bourne was a hot target, and then it didn't work with the Patriots, but that's obviously a different issue. But I think Juwan is going to be a very good wide receiver two somewhere.
Yeah. He's
like T. Higgins level, maybe. Maybe not. That's
right.
Crazy,
he put in his time, and, you know, he's riding off to the sunset with somebody else. But yeah, the Brandon Ayuk thing, I think that's exactly why.
Yeah, that's fair. I could see it. I mean, I understand.
Right, and maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. But
we just got to find out, right?
We just got to find out.
You don't want to retire and then look back and have that regret.
Right, and he's just, you know, wide receivers think they're always open, but I'm telling you what. Most of the time Brock throws to him, he's open.
He's open, yeah.
He's open.
And there were a couple of throws in that Super Bowl where he was open, and they did not throw him the ball. So
yeah.
I understand.
I don't know what's going to happen. I know they probably don't want to move him, but something's got to give because you don't want an upset wide receiver. And it feels like Brandon Ayuk
Especially not when everybody else is getting paid.
Exactly. It feels like Brandon Ayuk isn't going to be silent, right? He's already spoke out about it. So even if you sign him and you keep him, things aren't going to go away if he's not getting the rock.
Right. Yeah.
So then you
have
to decide, what do you want to do with him?
Yep.
Right. And to your point, if he is a fringe guy, and to Torrey Smith's point, that wide receivers continue to come in year after year after year, why deal with it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got Christian McCaffrey. And look, I think that this was the one season. I feel as if the Niners offense was more so built to have fail safes if somebody got injured.
Absolutely.
Right. So you have Ayuk if Debo goes down. You have both of them if McCaffrey goes down, right? And to, you know, you can put Debo in the backfield. Everybody stayed healthy. So they're truly, I think what we learned from this season, and I know, you know, Ayuk could have been a Pro Bowler and he wasn't. I think what we did learn is even if the numbers look good, that it's pretty hard to keep everybody well fed.
Well, and also, I mean, to your point, you just sparked something in my head there. I think Ayuk would have a lot easier time showing his worth or his value if he would have showed out those weeks that Debo didn't play. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, those were the three worst weeks of 49er football this year, and that was a golden opportunity in a contract – or not a contract year, but, I mean, he knows that it's coming up at some point here, or that a decision's going to have to be made between the two of them at some point. That was a golden opportunity for him to show his value, and he just – I mean, the Niners looked about as bad as they ever did this season. So
I got to pull the numbers on that because I do recall Ayuk getting a lot of targets.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he wasn't a part of it, but I think the fact that they didn't look like the same team
they
weren't successful is the counter to should we – you know, do we have to keep him or can we just look at cheaper, better options? Especially, again, when you're paying everybody, you got to cut corners somewhere.
Coming up next, we continue the conversation from the 916, from John and Sack. We love it when you say your name so we can shout you out. What about Keenan Allen? Yeah, I think Keenan Allen has just struggled staying on the field.
Yeah,
but Keenan Allen,
when
I mean.
He's healthy.
Right. Keenan Allen or Brandon Ayuk. It's another tough one. I think Brandon, you're just not very, can we trade Brandon Ayuk so Chris can put some respect on his name? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Ayuk is one wide receiver I see who gets open the majority of the game, but don't get thrown the ball. And he can win in contested situations. So even if he's not wide open, he should get the opportunity to make a play on the ball instead of throwing it away. LaSauce, GM. That is from Sauce Gardner.
Putting on his LeBron hat, I guess.
That's right.
LaSauce GM. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I mean, for sure. I mean, like, Sauce, I mean, that, you know, that definitely carries some weight. You know, the one of the best corners in the NFL, praising him for sure. I mean, it's, you know, I also wonder how much of that is the Jets could use some receivers, too.
Well, they got Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
They're number two.
Yeah. They need a quarterback first.
Well, they got a quarterback. From the 916, are you talking about the plays where they, as in Brock, had less than a second to throw and BA doesn't have the personality to cause a problem?
I don't know about that one, 916.
Yeah, I think not every player, but most of these wide receivers. I guess it depends on what's your definition of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. He'll hold out or anything like that? I have no clue, right? It doesn't seem like that, but don't play with people's money.
Mm-mm.
And that's the thing, right?
He's been very vocal already.
And let's not forget, okay, when we had Brad from SF Niners on last week, he said it's just as much about the money as it is about the targets. That is my outlook on this. Money is money.
Yep.
Jed York got it, okay? They'll take care of him. I'm saying you could pay him and he still not be happy.
Right.
There's some things that you can – money does not solve everything, okay? Yep. Solves a lot, but it doesn't solve everything. If Ayuk thinks he can get the same money somewhere else and he will get those targets, right, that's the issue. So I think it's not just about the money. It's about the philosophy and it's about the offense.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Because this is why Chris, no. This is why Chris during the break is saying 1,000-yard season and now I got to act like he's the guy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying he's not that guy. I'm not saying he can't be that guy. I'm just saying from what I've seen, I just think that there's, again, if we're talking top-level receivers or irreplaceable guys or guys that are one of ones, I just haven't seen it yet.
I think he's
got to be in a situation where maybe he's put in a spot to thrive. But even I'm not saying he's bad. Like I just think that he is a really good receiver, and I think he's probably a high end number two, but a low end one.
Here, and I love the word you use there, irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Because this is what I would say. This is why it's so confusing in San Francisco for the Niners. I do believe that Brandon Ayuk is a better receiver than Debo.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there, and I agree.
But I think that Debo is more irreplaceable than Brandon Ayuk.
Yes.
That based on what the Niners like to do.
Yes, absolutely.
That's why they're stuck.
Yep.
That's why they're stuck.
Yeah, until they switch up how they operate. But I don't think they should. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think, you know, there is an argument, though, to pick Ayuk over Debo. Let's not get that twisted either. Like, I think Debo, you know, you laid it out immediately after the Super Bowl. Like, he's not a route runner. He gets injured all of the time. He's less reliable. And, you know, frankly, they don't really use him like how they were, I think, intending to use him when they initially paid him. Like, he was supposed to be.
They got McCaffrey.
They got McCaffrey, exactly. So his value almost instantly declined after they got him. So I think there's an argument to keep him. I personally just feel like for it, like you laid out perfectly there, I think in this Niners offense, I just feel like Debo's the much not better fit, but I think he's the guy that they would choose to always utilize.
Because if
they're not going to utilize him heavily, he's just wasted.
Right. Right. And he still has gravity, but if they do pay Ayuk, I wonder the next question, if I'm in that that media room, right? And maybe I will be, or we'll get our guy Emil Fragoso in there, Sactown Sports Niners Insider. The next question that somebody's going to ask after they pay Ayuk is going to be, do you plan on getting him the ball more?
Yeah.
And I don't know what Kyle Shanahan will say, because when you do have such an electric offense anyway, you don't really need to get him the ball more, but you don't want things to happen from the 916. Vocal already, question mark. You said if he isn't getting targets, they brush him off because he's too quiet. He hasn't caused a problem at all. I never said that they brush him off. I don't know if you said that.
No, I didn't say they brush
him off. What we're talking about,
I just said he has already made a stir. Like, he has already stirred up, I don't know if you want to call it drama, but like, he created.
And his camp.
This conversation is only happening because Brandon Ayuk brought it to the forefront by posting on Instagram, and then his girlfriend posting on TikTok, and then his best friend posting on his Instagram
his
story.
His best friend,
like, all of this noise is because of Brandon Ayuk himself. So that's all we're saying when we say he's create, if you would call it a problem, but he's created all of that's going
this
on.
Is,
right
this
now.
Has become a, this wouldn't be the same type of conversation, right? If Brandon Ayuk doesn't say, don't forget what you got you there on social. And then his girlfriend, significant other, comes out and says, this might be our last time
at Levi's.
At Levi's. And then his best friend says,
BA to Vegas,
all this.
1,300-yard receiver, and this is how y'all are going to treat him.
Exactly. Kind of. And 916 is saying we're making stuff up. I mean, you can Google it yourself.
Yeah.
Please. You can Google it yourself, you know. From the 209, a couple years ago, Niners fans were complaining that Shanahan was going to injure Debo if they use him as Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
We need Brandon Ayuk more than Debo. The problem is you have
Christian. You're then going to use Christian McCaffrey like you were using Debo, we've seen that's not sustainable for.
And the scary conversation is one of the reasons why, and ESPN famously called the trade a C+, right?
I believe it was C-.
Or C-, was because of McCaffrey's injury history.
Yeah.
So you essentially need Debo and McCaffrey, so you don't overuse either of them.
Right.
And then you have
to save Kyle from himself.
Exactly. And then you have Ayuk as the odd man out. Yeah. And that's what it's been so far. And I think if you're Kyle Shanahan, it shouldn't really be that difficult because Debo's going to be a year older, right? And McCaffrey is going to be, and it's a little bit different because McCaffrey's a running back. It should not be that hard if you are Kyle Shanahan, an offensive guru. It should not be that hard to go into next season saying, hey, we're going to make sure that BA is happy. Because you're not throwing the ball to George Kittle.
Yeah.
You're not throwing the ball to George Kittle. But so what is it?
Couldn't you also argue that his happiness isn't based on – like, he had a 1,300-yard season. Like, he had a great regular season. I think it's the postseason that really had him upset. It's like when push comes to shove, you know, when your character can truly be revealed, Brandon Ayuk understood where he stood in the totem pole. Mm-hmm. And he understood, when push comes to shove – I am not at the top of the food. Like, they're not going to look my way. And I think that's the part where I don't know if you can ever reconcile that. Like, I'm not saying, I just don't know if the Niners, how currently constructed, are ever going to pick Ayuk's targets over Debo definitely not over McCaffrey while he's healthy.
No. And you really didn't even see, besides checkdowns, I'll never forget. Last season when Christian McCaffrey had, what was it, 5 touchdowns or something? He went, we called it the, you know, the Boobie Miles game because he threw one, he caught one, he ran for one. I felt like we did not see Christian McCaffrey run as many routes as we did last season.
Yeah,
and I think that's something else, not that would help Brandon Ayuk's situation, but I think that's something else that they could look into. When we get back, switching to some basketball now, we talk about the West. Contenders versus pretenders. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Contenders versus pretenders. Western Conference Edition. Now, we will not talk about the Kings here.
Okay.
We will talk about every other team besides the Kings in the West. So let's just go up and down and see where we match up and see where we don't. I'm going to start here, right at number one. Timberwolves, contender or pretender?
I would say contender. I think that they are.
No, hold on. Contender means they could win the whole thing.
Yes.
Okay. We just wanted to make sure we're on the same page here.
Okay. Yes. I would say that Minnesota is a legit contender. I just think in the playoffs, especially as a matchup, it's an absolute nightmare. Like, there's not many teams that can match Naz Reid, Karl Anthony Towns, and Rudy Gobert for 48 minutes, and then their defense is incredible. And then Anthony Edwards takes his game to another level in the playoffs. And I love Mike Conley. So I think
he just got bagged out.
He did. He did get bagged out.
Two more years.
Rightfully so. Yeah, I think Minnesota is completely legit. Are they truly like the number one seed? Like, are they the best or most threatening team in the West? Probably not. But I think that they, you know, they're, you know, contenders. I would say there's like four probably in each conference. And I would put them in there.
Pretender
sounds
for
like
me.
You're not. Yeah.
Pretender for me. They're pretender for me. And look, first of all, I was going to say I like Karl Anthony Towns more than most, but Karl Anthony Towns, I think, is actually really well liked. I think he's very confusing because it seems I thought he was a bit of a meme and people joke him, but after seeing him in the All-Star game and how people interact with him, I think that maybe just NBA Twitter jokes about Karl Anthony Towns, but he's actually really well respected amongst other NBA players and in NBA media. So even with that being said, I just think that they haven't done it yet. I know Anthony Edwards has been balling, but I still think he has to take another step for them to truly be in contention. I'm actually going to go pretender here.
Okay. So you don't believe in Anthony Edwards?
Not yet. No.
Okay. All right. He's gone. Yeah. Okay. I really think that they are really, really built well. If they had any level of experience, I would probably have them as my favorite. But I just think at the end of the day, like, I just don't think that they're as connected as a group as some of those other teams. But I think they have the talent. That's the one thing that I'm 100% certain of. Going to number two, OKC. Mm-hmm. They're 37-17 right now, game and a half out of first place. I've got them as pretenders. I think they are the ultimate fun regular season story, but it's just maybe this is too much Kings bias, but it's starting to kind of drive me crazy how nobody's talking about how OKC does not have playoff experience, because that was the one thing that we kept hearing last year. There's no way the Kings can beat the Warriors. They don't have enough experience. And you know what? It ended up being true. The Kings in that game 7 completely collapsed, had no idea how to deal with that kind of situation with that kind of pressure. And they completely folded. And OKC, Shea has been in the playoffs multiple times. Chet hasn't. Jalen Williams hasn't. Josh Giddey hasn't. I know they just traded for Gordon Hayward under the radar at the deadline, and that'll be a good addition if he's healthy. But at the end of the day, especially if you're talking about Chet being your only big man, and yeah, if you have to go against in an OKC versus Timberwolves series,
well,
you're
going to
get absolutely murdered. But that's what they got to go through.
Sure.
It's all about matchups in the playoffs.
But that matchup ain't happening.
Why not?
Well,
that's a one versus two
seed. Both of them are going to be done. Anthony Edwards, by the way, you're talking about Anthony Edwards. He was an All-Star reserve.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm saying in the playoffs, he elevates his game.
You're treating. Okay.
Show me his playoff numbers.
You're treating Anthony Edwards the way you claimed we were treating Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards is like a future face of the NBA. No.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying this season.
But I'm saying, like, if you look at last, I'm trying to pull up his playoff stats here. I mean, in the playoffs, he's taking, much like how De'Aaron took his game to another level. And by the way, Anthony Edwards still, 22 years old? Last year in the playoffs, in five games, he averaged 31 points per game on 48% from the field. He averaged 31-5-5 with a 1.8 steals and 2 blocks per game. What are we talking about?
Dude is
crazy. He did that at 21 years old.
Yeah, you still have to do. Look, it's more about, and we'll see as we get down this list. It's more about, for me, if I haven't seen you do it before, do I think this is the year that you could do it? And I think he's a year away.
Okay.
I just think he's a year away.
Okay.
And maybe he'll cook.
Sure. Yeah.
But I got him as pretenders. Yeah. And I got the – so if I got the T-Wolves as pretenders, yeah, there's no way I could have the Thunder as contenders. Okay, cool. I also has them have them as pretenders.
Cool. Okay. We can live with that for sure.
Clippers.
They're real.
I got
them
as contenders.
They're real deal spiel, man. That's my number one contender right there. They are the team to beat, especially with how well they're playing right now. They've got everything working in their favor. They got a championship coach in Ty Lue. They've got a past champion in Kawhi Leonard who's playing games this year. Paul George is, I mean, just those two, everything that everyone says about the Celtics mm-hmm. that has in the past made them tough to guard, having two elite forwards, the Clippers have that. And then they have James Harden. And then they have Russell Westbrook coming off the bench. Then they have Norm Powell, who I'm telling you was the Clippers' best player in the playoffs last mm-hmm. year. They have everything you would ever want in a playoff contender except for a clean bill of health, typically. So if they can be healthy, they are 100% my number one contender.
They are definitely a contender to me. Yeah, I think they are the scariest because if you look at all the teams that have experience just aren't very good right now besides the Clippers. If you're looking at the Lakers or the Warriors, they're in the dumpster. So it's just the Nuggets who have experience and the Clippers in the West. And I have them, I have the Clippers as contenders, and I have the Nuggets as contenders as well, which I think
there's
no way you can have them as pretenders.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the role players step up for them because Christian Brown was so big and Bruce Brown was so big for them last year and Jeff Green was really big for them last year. Like, will... who is it? Connor Gillespie, I think, is somebody that's getting minutes for them. Christian Brown, again, is going to have to step up. It's not a guarantee for them. It's not as easy as it's going to be for them next year or last year. But when you have Jokic, I mean, that's kind of game, set, match with a lot of matchups.
Exactly. By the way, Jokic, you talk about just the memes from Jokic and Luka. People are saying it's inevitable that they'll play together at some point. How old do you think they'll be, though? Do you think they actually pull this off?
Luka's a free agent in 2026. So, 2 years. That would be my guess.
I mean, Jamal Murray, whoever packaged that.
Could be in Dallas. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think
Denver... Jokic said he's not leaving.
We'll see about that.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to, but I think that those two are going to make it work.
Sooner than later.
I would say sooner than later. Absolutely.
That's not
Luka's good. Already talked about how he looks at LeBron and he's like, there's no way I'm playing until I'm 40 years old.
Right, so
like,
let's get this going now.
Pretty much. And Jokic, too. I mean, he's made his feelings on basketball well known.
That's
going
to be
a
problem.
He's here for a good time, not a long time.
That's going to be a problem.
Probably, yeah. And they're going to maximize as many championships as they can possibly get out of two of them.
Next up, you have the Suns. Now, this is one where I think you ask 10 people, you might get 10 different answers.
Might get 12 different answers.
Yeah.
I got to call him a contender. Mm-hmm. Like, now, if I completely believe in them, different story. But you got Kevin Durant, you got Devin Booker, you're going to have a chance. We saw that last year in the playoffs, those two were not even close to enough to beat Denver. But they can do some damage against, you know, if they play in OKC. I wouldn't pick them against Minnesota. But, you know, they're the most experienced team between those two. Those two have been to championships before in Booker and KD. It wouldn't surprise me. Like, if you're telling me in 4 months or 3 months or whatever that the Suns are the title, or at least winning the West, it wouldn't be the craziest thing. Like, I wouldn't be completely shocked. It'd be pretty surprising, but it wouldn't be the most insane thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, and they don't play any defense.
Sure don't.
The question is, can you level up enough? We know KD, and he's a little bit older now, but we know defensively he can be a menace.
Sure.
And Devin Booker, it's more about the effort thing, but he can defend too. Bradley Beal, you got to get him on the court. But there's no way you can't call him a contender.
There's no way. I mean, they're too stacked. And I would not pick them as my favorite, but they've got a shot for sure. And I they probably have the best shot of anyone not in that top four.
Yes, yes. Number six, the Pelicans. If they're not facing the Kings in the postseason, I don't even. Pretender doesn't even sound. Once you get to the 6-7, 8 seed, I don't think they're pretending to be anything. They're just trying to survive.
They're just literally trying to survive in advance.
But more so after you get past the top five, it's more about dark horses who could make some noise.
So let's do that then.
Yeah.
Who is this year's Lakers?
We will do it when we come back.
There you go.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Contenders and pretenders. Now we discuss the dark horses and the make some noise. Can you make some noise in
MSN.
The playoffs? And obviously, as we continue to get closer to the playoffs, more of this will be revealed. But before we kick off the final third of the season or tip off the final third of the season, where do you think that these teams fall? As we left off on the Pelicans, who are the sixth seed, 33-22, and have part ownership with Vivek on the Kings, as the Kings have not been able to beat the Pelicans or even get close to the Pelicans once this season. They kind of got close that second time.
Didn't feel like it.
In New Orleans. The Pelicans, can they make some noise? Are they a dark horse? I would say no.
Yeah, I would say no. I mean, if healthy, there's possibility that they could definitely make some noise. But, it's again, I just don't love how they're really built. They still don't have a true point guard. I mean, they run CJ and Zion and B.I. pretty much as their point guards. So I think until they really figure that out, I just don't really see it happening for them. They're a nightmare of a matchup. I mean, they're really probably the best suited team to take out the Clippers because they have so many forwards and so much forward depth. But I can't see the Pelicans. Consistency is really the key with them. I mean, I just can't see them playing well for four straight series. We have not seen Zion play for a month straight.
They're playing the Kings.
Unless they're playing the Kings. Well, then it's going to be a 4-0 sweep, and they're going to have tons of rest, and who knows what happens after that. But
that's
their only hope, really.
I don't think the Pelicans are going to make too much noise. You get in, if the season ended right now, they'd have the Clippers, and I think the Clippers would handle them.
It would be tough, but I think the Clippers are the better team, and I just feel like New Orleans just kind of lacks, like, the guy that really scares you. Like,
right.
You know, B.I. is great. Not really known as like a total killer. He's not really had many playoff moments. And then Zion, maybe that could be Zion's moment. Like it's a grand opportunity for it, especially if he's playing the Clippers in LA. That'd be a good stage for it. But I'll believe it when I see it at this point. Like I can't keep believing in that man and then having him quite literally just not show up.
So. I know that the in season kind of not turned into a joke, but what. After what happened to the Lakers, people are viewing it differently. But at the time, a lot of people were saying, man, Zion, this was an opportunity. You were going up against the Lakers and LeBron. Can you get up for this? And he just didn't. And that gives you a bit of cause to pause. And I think there is a cloud hanging over the Pelicans Smoothie King Center as far as this Brandon Ingram Zion thing. Is it about to be over?
Yeah.
I know we keep putting this guy on every single team, and he just would be the dude that fixes things. But if you have Brandon Ingram and Zion, and if you did put a Jimmy Butler on that team, now you would be cooking
because
he would definitely bring things together. Unfortunately, they don't have that. They have Jose Alvarado, and that's basically it. And I think they give the Clippers a bit of a tough time, but I would say that the Pelicans probably would be an early out.
I would think so, yeah. They just kind of lack that one more punch that they really need, but they're a good team. It's just, I don't think that they have enough to realistically beat anybody besides the Kings in the playoffs. But we'll see. And that's kind of how I feel about Dallas, too, where, I mean, I shouldn't say that because they do have that one thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Luka is that scary thing, but it feels like it's not, I won't say Verlade would love this, but empty calories. Mm-hmm. But I would just say it's like, you know, yeah, Luka's great. Kyrie's great. What else? Like, what else you got? Because even the Pelicans can say, Ingram's great, Zion's great, McCollum's great. They have, like, it's just you need somebody else to take you to a championship. You can't literally ride Luka and Kyrie to a championship.
You would take, right now, two versus seven would be Thunder Mavericks. You're taking the Thunder? Because I'm taking the Mavericks.
I think I would take the Thunder. I think I would take the Thunder because of the defense and because there's just more. Like, there's more options there. They can win in different ways. I feel like Dallas, their only hope is essentially to play Kings basketball of last regular season, where it's like, hey, let's try and score 130 points and hope that you can't. And besides that, I mean, yeah, I really don't love how Dallas is built. I've also never been a J-Kid guy, so that's maybe some of my bias showing.
That's fair enough. That's fair.
I love Luka, though. I am a Luka guy as far as those things go. I just mean, like, you know, it has nothing to do with just I don't like Luka. I don't think he's going to be successful.
Manny, too legit. They got Sneaky Alvarado. Not a fan of that guy.
Sneaky.
Neither is Chris.
Can't stand that. I mean, get him where you can fit in, my guy, but, like, it's just a little bush league. Just a little bit.
I don't mind it.
It's a little bit. You know what it is? The baseball example is the guy who doesn't, who, like, you know, the trick of, like, oh, I threw it back to the pitcher, mm-hmm. but I still have the ball.
Yeah.
But it'd be like if you literally did it, like, 10 times a season.
Right.
And it's like, all right, like, the first time it was crafty. Second time, wow, that dude didn't do his film. Third time, it's like, all right, like, it's getting a little shticky here. Like, I don't know. I mean, whatever. It works every time. Or 9 out of 10 times it works. But it's just, is that how you want to win? That's not how I want to win.
That is how Jose wants to win. That's really the only way he can win. Yeah. Again, so as far as the Mavericks, I would say in this specific matchup,
yeah,
I think that they could make some noise, sure. And that's just getting
to the second
round.
That's probably their favorite matchup.
That would be, and I think that's what happens, right? Everybody would be licking their chops to get the Thunder just because they have the least amount of experience.
I can't wait for the end of the year. That's always what low-key my favorite storyline to follow at the end of the season is, all these teams are jockeying. Like, was the story last year's. The Lakers are jockeying to put themselves in a position to play the Kings in the first round.
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
Are they really, though? Like, right. Are people actually intentionally losing games, or are you insinuating people are trying more because they really want to play a specific opponent? And then what happens if you get beat by that
it's
opponent?
It's embarrassing.
You look pretty stupid.
I don't think that's the case. Speaking of the Lakers, as we skip over the Kings, and we will have plenty of Kings talk moving forward here as we get ready for them to get back into action on Thursday. Getting to the Lakers now. I think LeBron is not checked out, but he's not going to wear himself out to – I mean, they're in the play-in right now, but
– that's really the key there is LeBron. Like, how much does LeBron believe in this team? I don't know. I don't think he does very much based off of, you know, his comments this year and the hourglass emoji and all that stuff around the trade deadline, but – you know, if he, I think we'll be able to tell by his effort. Like, if LeBron feels like this just isn't his year, I could see him, you know, playing a little.
Ah, my foot hurts.
90%. Yeah. Exactly. An injury will pop up and it'll be an excuse for him to kind of, you know, walk around a bit on the floor. And, but, you know, we've also seen that if LeBron does believe in his team, you could have a situation like last year where, man, you go, I don't think anybody is going to sign up to say, oh, yeah, we'll, talk about jockeying position. We'll line ourselves up so we can get LeBron and AD in the first round. That sounds nice to us. Like, I don't think anybody's going to volunteer for that. So it's what makes them scary. And, you know, it also, too, I don't want to admit it, but it's what makes Golden State a bit of a nightmare matchup, too, is, you know, it's we saw they can be defeated. They lost to the Lakers last year. But if you're trying to say we saw what Steph can do by himself, he will put up 30 every single night. And not every team is built to withstand that. So,
no.
They're
and
scary.
Speaking of who comes after the Lakers, it is the Warriors, the new and improved Warriors that
allegedly
will get CP3 back. You got Kuminga, who is a completely different beast. And you have Klay Thompson in his new role. But by the way, there was an article out about your guy, Brandon Podziemski. And actually,
that.
It was pretty ridiculous. Did you read some of these clips?
I saw some of the excerpts, but I did not read them.
Did you see him challenging Draymond the first game back from Draymond's suspension? And he hangs out for – it's almost becoming a meme, right? Just the things that they're saying he does. He hangs out for hours after the game.
What? Like he's just a purist. He just loves ball.
Yes, and now it's just getting out of hand quite a bit here. But yeah, you have the Warriors who, okay, as presently set up, they would have to go to LA for a one gamer. That might be the toughest.
Thrilling.
It would, but that's the toughest for the Warriors. Yeah. The Splash Brothers have never shot well down in LA. I don't know if it's the lighting or whatever it is. They just don't shoot well there. Yeah. And they're one and done. Mm-hmm. So,
and they have no answer for AD either.
You got Vanderbilt that's going to lock up somebody. Yes. You got, again, Brandon Pajemski. I think he is a showman. And he also did say he's ready to take the torch from Steph when Steph is done.
That's insane. What a lunatic.
But sometimes you need that. I don't know that they could get past the Lakers because the Lakers are really good at, okay, we'll try today. Exactly. And if you try today, that's just tough. Now, I hate to bet against Steph Curry, but you know they need to get up there. They need at least a game as a mulligan. You can't have a one gamer on the road. You need to at least be at Chase. They say in this 10 seed, it's not going to happen.
I just don't think it's going to happen for them. I feel like they're playing really, really good basketball now, but I just think the wheels are going to come off a bit. You already see Clay. I don't care about the bench going off the bench. It feels like the wheels are kind of starting to fall off a bit, and they're trying to grasp at straws here. And Chris Paul, I mean, we'll see. He's going to come back, but we'll see if he can stay healthy. And I do not want to rely on Brandon Pajemski in the playoffs. Regular season's fine. Mm-hmm. He's had a couple 20-point games, sure, but if you're going to say, Brandon Pajemski, we need you to play 30 minutes.
Get us a bucket.
Go ahead. Go ahead and live that way. That is a very, very scary way of living. And, good on them if they feel like they believe in him that much. But I just feel like that's a very telltale sign that team is just not a serious team. Like, you're not a serious, I'll say contender. You're not a serious contender for anything if you're realistically relying on, you know, a late first round rookie.
That's the whole thing, right?
Be incredibly reliable.
Exactly. Coming up next, we talk Kings and the second half outlook. We're just starting this conversation as we're breaking it all down throughout the week as we get you ready for the last third of the season when the Kings get back into action. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.